Let's learn. Okay, Rosh Hashanah, page Resh Mem. Be'ein Melitz Yosher Mul Magid Pesha. Anyone recognize this line? This is a line from the Musaf, from the Chazaras Hashatz of Musaf on the Yom Noram. What does it mean? Be'ein Melitz Yosher, when we feel that there is no Melitz Yosher. Melitz Yosher means a person who is able to defend. A Melitz Yosher. We say often when a person passes away that they should be a Melitz Yosher for their family, for Klal Yisrael. So sometimes we feel be'ein melitz yosher, that there's no one to be melamed zchus mul magid pesha, against the one who accuses us of wanton sins, against the one who accuses us of being very bad Jews. Ein melitz yosher, how are we going to respond? Who's going to defend us? Ein melitz yosher, there's no one to defend us against the one who's magid pesha, against the one who expresses our sins. Okay, obviously the Yetzirah, the Satan, whatever you want to call them. Okay. Harav Hagadol, Moreno Yisrael Politzker. Rabbi Yisrael Politzker was one of the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov. I don't know much about him, but I know he's one of the early Talmidei Baal Shem Tov. And again, the Avodas Yisrael, who's pretty early on, a Talmud himself of the Noam Elimelech and the Magid of Mezrich. So if he's quoting someone Zatzal, that means he's quoting someone who must have been a direct Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov. Noam Elimelech is sort of level 2, 3. Magid of Mezrich is second generation. Avodas Yisrael is also right around there, third generation Hasidus. So if he's quoting Rav Yisrael Pletzker, he must be quoting one of the very early Talmidei Baal Shem Tov. So one of the early Talmidei Baal Shem Tov explained, Amar HaPerish, Dihine mitzvas asei shel tshuva lefi inyan hachet v'chein inyan hatikun. The way to fix your averos, the way to do tshuva, the mitzvah asei, mem ayin, mitzvah asei, of tshuva is in accordance with the chet. And so too is the tikkun. What does that mean? In other words, the fixing has to fit the crime. Limashal, misha chata b'shogeg, if a person did an avera b'shogeg, tikkuno laharbos b'maisa mitzvos, then the way to fix a mistake, a shogeg, an avera that was done by accident, is to increase the performance of mitzvos. What does that mean? Kamosha amru chazal, if you did piles of averos, yasa chavilos mitzvos. So correspondingly, do piles of mitzvos. V'hagam shelo yihyu kol kach bekavana karaoi. And even though the mitzvos that you're going to do are not going to be with the greatest kavana, but chaver, think about it for a second. Heim tikun neged hachet hanizkar shenasa gam kein b'li kavana. When you did an avera without thinking, so says our Rebbe, says the Heilige Kozhnitzer Magid, how do you fix that? Do a mitzvah without thinking. Do a mitzvah without thinking. Not that you should. Obviously, we should have kavana when we do mitzvahs, right? That's the goal. Obviously, that's the goal. But the same way that you said, oops, I messed up. I did this avera b'shogeg by accident. So go do a mitzvah by accident. Do a mitzvah, even if there's not such great kavana. To fix a chet b'shogeg, where it was a lack of intentionality, so do a mitzvah. Do a mitzvah, even if you do it b'li kavana. That's how you fix a shogeg. Misha chata b'mezid. What happens if you do an avera on purpose? What happens if it's premeditated, and you did the avera intentionally? Misha chata b'mezid v'kavana, az tikuno lashuv miderech harasha, v'achar kach laharbos v'mitzvos, al pi kavana haroi, ke'en achet she'asu mikodem. If you did an avera again on purpose, so the way to fix it is now to do a mitzvah on purpose. In other words, the same way that the avera was thought out, so now your mitzvah, the fixing of that avera, has to be a mitzvah that is well thought out. Okay? So we always have this relationship. The way that you break is the way that you fix. So if the avera was by accident, do a mitzvah by accident. If the avera was very planned out, very intentional, mezid, so then do a mitzvah b'mezid. In other words, make sure that you plan the mitzvah and you do it with tremendous kavana. But said Rabbi Yisrael Platzker, one of the early Talmidei Baal Shem Tov, but here's where we run into the problem. Achein, im chalila shalach yado al kol dvar pesha. What happens if a person does an avera that's not shogeg, is not mezid, but is a category that we call pesha? How did we begin the piece? With a line from the davening, Be'ein Melitz Yosher, there's no way to defend ourselves from the one who accuses us of Pesha. What is Pesha? Explains the Kashrut Sermagid. Im Chalila Shalach Yado, al kol devar pesha, kirishaim elu hamardim lahaches es yoitrim chalila. Like wicked individuals who are moreid lahaches. What does that mean, moreid lahaches? That they act rebelliously. That they try to anger Hashem. They don't even get any pleasure from the Avera. They do it literally just because they hate the concept of God. They hate the truth of God, the reality of God. They want to confront Hashem, so they're moreid b'malchus just to anger their creator. Lahaches es yotzra means to anger their creator. For those who are writing down the words, which I hope is everyone. So, God forbid, if a person acts like that, chalila, k'mishkal hazeh ein kein b'maisa ha-mitzvos. So, chever, what's the corresponding mitzvah? How do you do a mitzvah in the same way? If you did an aveira b'shoge, you aren't thinking, so do a mitzvah b'shoge without thinking, without such big kavana. If you did an aveira b'mezid, it was premeditated with a lot of, again, intention, so do a mitzvah with a lot of intention. But if you did an aveira to rebel against God, out of hatred towards Hashem. So how do you fix that? What's the corresponding mitzvah? Lachain says the Kashrus Magid, again in the name of Yisrael Platzker, Lachain ein tikun b'mitzvos neged maisa pesha. It seems, at least on the surface, that there's no fixing, there's no way to fix this type of avera. Ki lo shayach lasos kedugma sachet, you obviously can't do a mitzvah in that same way. How do you do a mitzvah? Right? As rejecting Hashem and with anger at God? Now the truth is, you could think about this. I was thinking about it a lot last night. We'll see what the Kashrus Magid says. But maybe there's a way to do a mitzvah with anger. I told a story many years ago on Tisha B'Av about a Yid during the Holocaust who in a moment of absolute anger towards Hashem, he took tefillin and he threw it. He was in an apartment. He threw it out the window of the apartment. I think they told this to the Imre Emes, to the Ger Rebbe, the third Ger Rebbe, the son of the Sfas Emes, passed away in 1948. He was running throughout the war. So I think the Imre Emes said, wow, what a mammon. What a mammon. What type of mammon throws tefillin out of a window? So he says, look how he's so angry at Hashem. That's because he believes in Hashem. If Hitler's in charge, Yimach Shemo, if there's no God in the world, if God is dead, like a great wicked philosopher once said, so then what do you have to throw tefillin for? You have to throw a black leather box. What are you trying to do? He's throwing it because he's mad at Hashem, because he believes in Hashem. So maybe there is a way, and again, we can think about it, to do an avera almost as out of anger towards God. Again, that's a subtle thing. That's a subtle point. I don't want to really go into that right now, but it's something to think about. But again, going back to our pshat here, it says we saw Plotzker, if you do an avera b'shogeg, fix it b'shogeg. If you do an avera b'mezid, fix it b'mezid. Fix it with intention. If you do an avera Pesha, as an act of rebellion with anger and hatred towards the Borei Olam, so there's no corresponding mitzvah. There's nothing you could do to fix that, it seems. And therefore, we say in the Tefillah, we say in the Payet, V'zesha Amar HaPaitan, this is what the Paitan expressed in the Davening. This is the line from, again, you'll notice it. And maybe if you have a Machzer, hopefully you pull out your Machzer by now, get a Rosh Hashanah Machzer, pull it out, find this line, and write down, right on top of it, Avodas Yisrael. So when you say this line, you'll think about it. You'll think about how scary this line is. Be'ein meilitz yosher mul magid pesha. Right? That there's no one to defend us. There's no mitzvah, there's no corresponding mitzvah to defend us, to protect us from the accusing malach who points to our pesha, to the moments where we rebelled against Hashem from a place of anger, from a place of rejection. Be'ein meilitz yosher negdo kanizker le'el ad kan lishon. This is the Vart of Rabbi Saul Platzker. Comes our Rebbe, the Halakha of Avodas Yisrael, and he says, I want to try to help you out here. Because right now we're stuck, right? Chevra, you're following the Vart. Right now we're stuck. Right now we're saying, there's no tikkun for Pesha. There's a tikkun for Shogi, there's a tikkun for Mezid, there's no tikkun for Pesha. Says the Kashrus Magid, V'li nira lomar, maybe you could say, Sha'avinu avarachaman, Livilti yidach v'menu nidach. We know, like the Pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our loving Father in heaven, bilti yidach bimenu nidach, has not rejected even one who's rejected, has not driven away one who is far away. HaKadosh Baruch Hu pulls everyone back in. That's what we read in the Parsha last week. That even if you're on the far-flung corners of the earth, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to find a way to drag you back. So it has to be, says the Kashrus Magid, Heichin v'tikein tshuva l'chol hachotim v'hamardim. I had a call yesterday with a guy from California. He was telling me about a painful experience of Averas he did when he was younger. And he said that he had heard a shir from one of our shirim, I think one of the Michtam Eliyahu shirim. And he said, you mentioned something about the Zohar saying that certain averas you can't do tshuva. And I said, I want to apologize to you if I didn't make it clear that I thought I said it then. Right? But all the tzaddikim say that when the Zohar says there's certain averas you can't fix, it just means you can't fix in the regular way of tshuva. You can always fix. The Pashup Shad and the Rambam, every avera has tshuva, has fixing. So says the Avodas Yisrael, it's a nice pshat in the line, Be'ein Me'elet Yosher Mul Ma'aget Pesha, but there has to be a fixing, even for Pesha. There's no avera that can't be fixed, even if a person sins and is morid b'malchus, even if he rebels against the king, an unforgivable sin. Va'ata nosin yad l'poshim. What do we say? We say it in the davening of Yom Naram. We say it in our Tachnun. Right, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu extends a hand to the poshim. Hashem puts out his hand even to poshim, even to those who sin willfully with hatred, with animosity towards God. So, chaver, what's the fixing? V'atikun shal avon v'fesha, sha'asa shalo l'te'avon v'lahanas atzmo. When a person did an avera, the way to fix an avera that was done without taiva, without pleasure. Again, he didn't do this avera because he was tempted by some desire. He did it because he's mad at God. He did the avera as a rejection of Hashem, to be morid in Hashem. He didn't do it lahanas atzmo. He didn't do it for his own enjoyment. Rak limros lamros liyotzro ulachiso. He did it to rebel against his creator, to anger God, as it were. Tikunu zelu mazeh. So says the Kashrus Magid. You know what the fixing can be? Continuing on the next page. Lasos mitzvah bikavana gedola shelo amanas lekabel pras. The same way this avera was done, right, without any desire. Again, shogeg, I wasn't thinking. Mazed, I wanted to eat the cheeseburger. I couldn't resist. So I calculated a way to do it. And I enjoyed it. Pesha, there was no pleasure. There was no hana in it. I did it just to make a point. So says the Kashrus Magid, so that's the fixing. Do a mitzvah to make a point. What's the point you want to make? Hashem, I don't want schar. I don't want it in this world. I don't want it in the next world. I'm doing it mamish just to serve you. Lo ba'olam hazeh v'lo ba'olam haba, rak yiskavein lasos nachas ruach liyotzro. The same way I did this avera without any other intention other than to anger you, I do this mitzvah now in order to what? In order to give you nachas ruach, in order to make Hashem proud and happy. And that's how you undo a pesha. That's how you fix. So now, it's a nice vart. Rav Yisrael Plotzker had a nice vart, a little scary. Kashrus Magid now says, I want to defend Klal Yisrael. I want them to fix pesha. Now what are we stuck with? Chaver, what are we stuck with now? So how do you read the line in the Machzor? How do you read the line of the Machzor that says, Be'ein me'elitz yosher mul magid pesha? There is no defense against pesha. Kashrus Magid gave us a nice defense just now, but how do you read the line? So look what he says. Here's how you read the line. V'zeh nikra b'chinas ayin. This type of service of Hashem, put in the nekudos, ayin, not ein, ayin. This type of service of Hashem is called ayin, which means what? Nothingness, complete surrender. Not doing it for myself. Not reward in this world, not reward in the next world. She'ena rotze avur avodaso lo schar gufo v'lo schar nishmaso. I don't want schar for my body, I don't want schar for my soul. That's called ayin. Complete submissiveness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lishma, we sometimes call it. That's called ayin. So listen, chavra. So he says, v'zeh she'amar ha'paita, and here's how you read the line in the davening. Be'ein me'elitz yosher. What does that mean? Be'ein haynu kanizkir la'el, from a place of ayin, me'elitz yosher. When a person reaches a place of ayin, when I do the mitzvah simply because, the same way I did the avera, just because, to make a point, when I do the mitzvah just to make a point, without any self-interest, be'ein, be'ayin, me'elitz yosher mul. He says what? Hu lashon krisa, shekores esamakatrik. That becomes the Me'elitz Yosher Mul. Mul is like a lashon of Mila, he's saying. Mul means opposite, right? But he's learning Mul as a lashon of cutting. So Ba'ayin, from a place of Ayin, it's a Me'elitz Yosher Mul. It's a Me'elitz Yosher to cut. Umol Hashem es levavcha ves levav zarecha, like the Pasuk says. I want to circumcise the heart. I want to circumcise, I want to get the Yitzhahara to cut it out of my heart. So Ba'ayin, from a place of Ayin, from a place of nothingness, Me'elitz Yosher Mul. I'm able to what? I'm able to cut away. I'm able to defend myself by cutting away whatever is makatrig, whatever is out to get me. And then what? Magid pesha. What's the line again? Be'ein melitz yosher mul, comma, magid pesha. Here's how he's reading it. Ba'ayin, from a place of submissiveness, of nothingness, of surrender to God. A person is melitz yosher, he creates a defense mul, to chop down the makatrig, to fight against the prosecuting angel. And then, acher kach, magid. What's a magid? Magid? There's a candy company called Megadim. Now, what are Megadim? Megadim means like delightful things, pleasant things, treats. V'acher kach magid pesha. Then you're able to make something what? Sweet. You make something good. You make a magid. You make Megadim out of pesha. Right? This mem gimel dalet yud, you know, it's not abbreviated, it's just missing the mem. Megadim is what it says. So acher kach magid lashon Megadim. Then you're able to what? You're able to sweeten the hainu shamam tiko lemekatreg apesha. You're able to take that most significant aveira and turn it into the biggest mitzvah. That's how it always works. Our lowest aveira has the potential of tshuva for the biggest mitzvah. And what does it mean to sweeten the pesha? To take the aveira and to make it sweet? He says, what does that mean? Umemela shetehafech osios pesha leshefa. As many of the Svarim HaKadoshim do, we know that the tzaddikim are able to overturn negativity by rearranging letters. So they take the word, through your tshuva, you take your pesha, you take your most egregious of eras, and you turn it into shefa. Shefa means bracha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu pours down his blessing upon you by fixing this avera. Dehainu sheyavo al yado shefa bracha ratzon unedava v'havein ki amoko. And understand this well, because it's a very deep idea. How we're able to take our most significant aveira and to turn it into a mitzvah. Okay, so ba'ayin, from a place of bittul, from a place of surrender. Again, let's not forget what we learned about the posture of the shofar. The shofar is what? The shofar itself is bent, an aisle, a ram's horn is bent over, and that's the posture we're supposed to take on when we what? When we come to daven on Yom Kippurim and Rosh Hashanah. Right? We get ourselves into a position that's moving towards that fetal position. The way that some of the Svarim HaKadoshim explain, when you go to the mikvah, it's like going back into that fetal position and being born again, right? By returning to a place of nothingness, before you were a somebody, before you were a something. It's all that something, that anochi, that gets in the way of the anochi Hashem Elokecha. So when we contract ourselves, when we make space for Kadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, right, we turn Pesha into a Shefa, a gevaldik piece of Torah. Okay? Chevra, let's turn to Shabbos HaGadol now, on page Kuf Chav Vav. Pitch Kuf Chav Vav, for those who have the safer. If not, it's in the WhatsApp group and you have it on the screen in front of you. Okay? Why are we going to Shabbos HaGadol? We're getting ready for Pesach. It's interesting. I think the Chassam Sofer said that Shabbos HaGadol and Shabbos Shuva should really be the other way around. Right? That this should be Shabbos HaGadol, and before Pesach we should have Shabbos Shuva. He said a creative vartabat as to how they're interwoven with each other. Because what are we doing on Pesach? We're trying to get rid of the chametz of our life. We're trying to kasher our kalim. We're trying to make sure that our utensils are kosher for Pesach. Right? So we're doing connected to each other. Okay, so let's listen to this piece. Says our Rebbe in the last piece, you see it? It's on page Kuf Chav Vav. The last piece in Avodas Yisrael for Shabbos HaGadol. He's quoting a line from the Shulchan Aruch, and he's explaining it b'derech Hasidus. It's gvaldik. Listen to this. Kalim shetashmishan b'chamin. How do you kasher a kli? How do you kasher a kli? How do you get something ready for Pesach? Many people have have utensils which are miuchad for Pesach, set aside only for Pesach. But that's because we live in a time where Baruch Hashem, you know, it's easy to produce things and there's an abundance of things, and therefore many people can afford for those few unfortunate souls who still stay home for Pesach and don't go to a hotel or whatever. I'm just joking. They have many people have kelim that are miuchad that are designated for Pesach. Right? But let's say you need a kasher, a kli for Pesach. Let's say I need to take my regular pot that I use all year round for chametz. How do I kasher it? So the Shulchan Aruch is clear. The Shulchan Aruch says, kelim shetashmishon b'chamin, utensils that were used in fire, in heat, yigalu b'chamin, have to be cleansed, hagala, that's the cleansing process, have to be cleansed through heat. Bitzonin, if I use something cold, if I never use this this kli, if I just use this bowl for, I don't know, for some cold chametz cereal, so then it's enough to kasher it with cold. I can just rinse it out, really, technically, with cold water. Yadichu betzoinen. I can rinse it with cold. Mukli cheres, and what about an earthenware vessel? A kli cheres. How do you kasher a kli cheres? Not so simple. It's absorbed into the earthenware, so how do you fix it? Ein lo takana ela b'shvira. The only way to fix it is to break it. Would be to break it down and to recast it. Okay? So, three different types of kelim. If it's something used in fire, you kasher it in fire. If it's something used without any heat, you can just rinse it off. If it's a kli cheres, if it's an earthenware vessel, the only way to fix it is to break it, is to destroy it, and then to refashion it. Okay. To mamish recreate it. Okay. Says the Kozhitzer Magid, and it's so much connected to the piece we were just learning, how the fixing has to correspond to the crime. He says, what are the kelim that we're kashering? Chever, we're all kelim. Every one of us is a kli that's trying to be kashered. Nira al derech haremes, she'af al pi shechotim, einam osen ha'avira b'lev shalim u'benefesh chafetza. Hold on, I gotta turn. I'll turn my safer here for a second. Sorry. We can explain b'derech haremes that even though a person sins, even when we do an avera, einam osim ha'avera b'lev shalim u'benefesh chafetza. A person never does an avera, what? With his whole heart. I told you, I think it was from the Rebbe Reb Zusha who said, I never saw someone make a siyum and invite his friends to celebrate his averas. Right? You learn a masechta, you have an accomplishment in Torah, you raise a lot of money for a tzedakah organization, so Jews get together and sometimes we eat and we farbrang and whatever. We celebrate our mitzvos together. But we don't make parties to celebrate our averos. You never invite someone over, you know, hadron alach this avera v'hadra chalan. No one ever did that before. Because we don't celebrate our averos. And the tzaddikim said, we never did an avera. Every time we do a mitzvah, we create a malach. Every time we do an avera, we create a prosecuting angel. The tzaddikim said, I never saw a malach that was created from an avera that was perfect. Because we don't do perfect averas. There's a part of us that's never connected to the avera. So even when we sin, it's never b'lev shalim, and it's never benefesh chafetza. It's never with the desire of the heart, with the desire of the soul. Rak beiz ayin chaf. Rak bal karcho. Yisaper shivcho shalavera machmas tachbulos hayetzahara. Aval hu be'emes in a rotza kla lasos mashu neged retzono hakadosh yisbarach shemo. What happens is that bal karcho, we get forced into it. The tachbulos hayetzer means the tricks, the strategies of the Yetzihara convince us that the avera is pleasing. But be'emes, in our heart of hearts, no one wants to do something that's against the ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now listen. Zeha adam hu shetashmisho betzonein. When a person does an avera, and it's a cold avera, right? As one of my rabbis likes to say, you know, you have parv averas and you have fleshik averas. Right? Fleshik avera means like a hot avera. Right? So you have a cold avera. Cold avera means even while you did the avera, it wasn't, yeah, whatever, the Yitzhara tricked you, but like, you weren't immersed in the avera. You weren't in passionate about the avera. Zeha adam hu shetashmisho betzonein. A person who what? Whose tashmish, meaning whose activity is cold, ratzalon or she'eno bechemda v'taiva, rak mi shekafo. Now, chaver, on a sensitive level here, when he's talking about kelim tashmishin, the Hebrew way, the term that we use, the delicate term that we use for intimacy, one of the terms is tashmish hamita, right? Tashmish hamita literally means using the bed, using the bedroom. So he's talking about that as well, but I'm applying it more generally to all averos. So a person whose tashmish, not just his intimacy, is performed in a cold way, in other words, that he's not overwhelmed by taiva, a person who engages in the pleasures of this world, but he doesn't do it with so much chemla or taiva, rakamisha kafao, like one who is what? Who is forced, right? Kofenoso, atshiyom merotzani, kafa. Kafa means forced. A person who does averos, like one who's being forced by his yetzahara. And again, if you're such a tzaddik, he's describing a person even who does something that's permitted, like a husband being with his wife, but he does it in a way where he's not trying to, it's not self-serving, he's doing it for the mitzvah. Right? Again, a very high level. V'zeha adam b'vadai ein tzarech sigufim. So such a person, to fix, to fix his temptations. He wasn't so immersed in it at the time of the Avera. So just like the Avera itself was cold, the fixing can also be cold. He doesn't need sigufim. He doesn't need afflictions. He doesn't need intense tshuva. Rak sheyakabo alav be'emes shelo yasa od Avera afilo meyetzahar masiso. He needs to just say, next time, Yitzhara got me this time. Shucks. Next time I'm not going to fall for the trick of the Yitzhara. And that's, so to speak, your Avera is cold. Your Avera is parv. So your tshuva can be a little bit parv. Your tshuva doesn't need to be fire. V'zeh yig'alu b'tzonein. You rinse it off. Hagala b'tzonein. Ratzalomar belosi gufim uvegodol chamimas halev. Rak ha'tshuva tzarech liyos kamo shachata. The punishment has to fit the crime. The fixing has to fit the shortcoming. He needs to do tshuva in the way that he sinned. The sin was cold, the tshuva can be a little cold. But chevra, here's the reality. The reality is many of us do fleishik averas. We do fleishik averas. Fleishik averas means it wasn't that like, oh, the Yetzirah, you know, tricked me and I won't fall for it next time. We choose to do averas sometimes. And sometimes we have strong taivas and we live in a world of tremendous temptation. So therefore, our tshuva has to be on fire. Because a kli that was used for a fiery avera needs a fiery tikkun. There's no two ways about it. If you're going to come to shul on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and you're going to have a cold experience, you're not going to immerse yourself in the davening and in the tshuva, so you're not going to be able to kasher your kelim. Because your kelim, all of our kelim, and again, I'm not accusing anyone, God forbid, but all of our kelim, we live in a time where, you know, where the temptation is very strong, where there's a lot of you know, intense flesha gataivas that are presented before us. And therefore the fixing has to be accordingly. Aval misha tashmisho b'chamin, a person who's what? Whose activity was fire. Ratzalomar shemechamim es atzma l'dvar aveira. He heats up his body for sin. Va'oso asan b'nefesh chafetza. And he does it with enjoyment and excitement. Zetzarech lasos tshuva kamokin b'chamim es halef. So then his tshuva also has to be in the same style. The tshuva has to be b'chamim es halef, with passion. And again, it's so important to think about the Mida Keneged Mida that we're talking about here. Ask yourself, think about in the Veira that you did at some point this year, and how at the moment the Yitzhara was really, you really went all in on that Veira. And now say, okay, so how am I going to go all in on Tshuva? Ukli Cheres, and what's the last halacha? What about a Kli Cheres? What about an earthenware vessel? We said, Ein Lo Takana. What does that mean? What's a Lomar? Osam Shehirbu Lachto. If you become so absorbed, if you absorb so much sin into your life, see, what's the problem with the kli cheres? Why is a metal utensil different than an earthenware utensil? Because we have a concept in halacha, kabo lo kach polto. The way that it's absorbed is the way that it expels it. So the way that metal takes something in, the metal has the ability to give something out. But a kli cheres absorbs it into the very fiber of its being in a different way. So a kli cheres, look at the words, get the words down. Osam shehirbu lachto, a person who sins so often to the point that what? That he's like a kli cheres in the sense that what? She'ena yotze mide dofio. Dofio means it's walls, like a dofen. Right? A dofen's a wall. So it's not able to expel from its walls forever. It's become so absorbed within it. It's addicted to the Avera. Maybe that's a good example. In modern language, right? It's a taiva that we feel addicted to. It's become part and parcel of who I am. I don't see it as something outside of myself anymore, but it's been absorbed into my very being, into my flesh, into my very mahus. Ein lahem takana. Now, hold on a second, right? The Shulchan Aruch says it can't be fixed except through breaking. So does that mean what? There's no fixing. We know what our Rebbe's going to say. Our Rebbe's not going to say there's no fixing. This is the fixing. What is the fixing? How do you fix? Ein lam takana rak b'shvirus leiv uvemeriras al chata'av sha'avar neged ratzon habore yisbarach v'yasala. The only way to fix it, when you've become addicted to averas, that has been absorbed into your being, the only way is to have a real shvirus halev. You got to recreate yourself. That's so much a part of what we're doing during the tshuva process. When the Gemara says there are four things that tear up the Gzar Din and overturn a person's judgment. So one of them is what? Change your name. Which the Rambam says means change your reputation. Ani acher, I'm a new person. I'm not the same guy who did those averos. Yesterday we learned about someone who called himself acher. He went from being Elisha ben Avuya to becoming an acher. Rachmana Letzlan. But we're supposed to become an acher of holiness, right? I don't want to be the same guy. I want to shatter myself. I want to break my old self and recreate myself. By the way, Chavre, every time we learn Torah, we're supposed to do that. It's one of my favorite ideas. Not going to explain it by Arichos now, but just very quickly. What does the Gemara say? Adam ki yamas ba'oel. On the Pasuk, Adam ki yamas ba'oel. That if a person dies in a tent, the Torah describes the tumas oel. If you're under the same roof as a dead body, you become tameh. What does the Gemara say? Adam ki yamas ba'oel. A person's supposed to what? Be memes as atzmo. To kill himself in the tents of Torah. What does it mean to kill yourself over Torah? So some rebbeim maybe you had along the way of life, right, who like to get people fired up for learning, would say, kill yourself for Torah means mesiras nefesh for Torah, which is true. Learn stark, push yourself, you know, stay up late. That's killing yourself over Torah. It's true. That's an emistic pshat. But there's a deeper pshat. The deeper pshat that I heard from Rabbi David Aaron Shlita, of killing yourself over Torah, means that you have to be prepared to what? To kill off some older version of yourself, and allow Torah to recreate you as a more wholesome person. So when I was in high school, I thought I was going to be in the NBA one day. Or when I was in high school, I thought I was like this, you know? When I was young, I'm speaking for myself now, I thought I was going to be like the first Orthodox Jewish rock star. Now, I didn't live a rock star lifestyle, don't get me wrong. I was a very, very good kid in high school. Okay, so I don't want you getting crazy ideas. But I you know, I played guitar and I had this dimyon of I'm gonna be like, you know, a from celebrity. Some part of my mind. Cheval gives me the approval. I appreciate that, Cheval. Right? But at a certain point you have to say, you know what, I'm not gonna define myself by trying to be the captain of my high school basketball team. I mean, as a dimyonos mamish. I wanna define myself by my neshama, I wanna be a yid. And I evolve and I allow myself to evolve. And it's hard, by the way. It's as painful as Misa itself, because I have to kill off my old personality to let myself reemerge. Now, again, don't get me wrong. The goal is not, oh, I was a funny guy in high school, and now I'm like super serious, because the only way to be an Eved Hashem is to lose all my personality. God forbid. It's about harnessing that personality and using it in a way of greater Kedusha. But again, you have to break it in order to rebuild it. That's what it means to be Memis as Atzmo. But Oalei Torah, to kill yourself in the tents of Torah. So a person who became so addicted to Averos, he needs to mamish change himself completely. He needs to redefine himself as an acher of holiness, to be someone totally different. And if he does, says the Kashrus to Magid, not to worry, it's going to be good. Ubevadai karav Hashem lenishbrei lev. We know that Hashem loves kelim shvurim, broken vessels. Hashem loves broken hearts. Hashem feels for a person who's going through a shviras halev. Because Hashem looks at that person and says, this guy's for real. Via Kabbalah, Son, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will certainly bring such a person close. He brings a person back. Okay? So, Chavre, it's very related to this other piece. Again, how the Avera and the Tikkun of the Avera go hand in hand. Okay? Let's do one last piece, one more small piece. One more piece from our Rebbe before we come to Yom Tov. And this is in the section on Shabbos Shuva. Okay? In the Sefer, for those who have the Sefer, it's page 248, Reish Mem Ches. Just a small piece to be mechazik, as one little paragraph. Okay, we'll end today with this piece right over here. Shuvu elai, va'ashuva aleichem. Shuva elai, return to me, va'ashuva aleichem. What does it mean? Pasuk in Malachi. It's a pasuk in the Navi. Malachi Parag Gimel. He's here ha'navi l'shavim el Hashem. The Navi is offering a warning to those who want to return to Hashem. Shelo yihye, and I'm sharing, you're saying, you might think to yourself, why are we learning Shabbos Shuvah? We got a long way to go until we get to Shabbos Shuvah. We got to get through Rosh Hashanah first. And for those who have the Sefer in front of you, you see there's a lot of other pieces on Rosh Hashanah. So I'll give you a heads up. Some of them are pretty hard, and they're pretty long. So I picked this piece. But I picked this piece for another reason, because this piece actually has a lot to do with the Avodah of Rosh Hashanah. How does this piece teach us about the Avodah of Rosh Hashanah? Chevra, what's one of the greatest dangers of missing the boat on Rosh Hashanah? One of the greatest dangers of missing the boat on Rosh Hashanah is what the Zohar says, is coming to shul on Rosh Hashanah and barking at Hashem like a dog. What sound does a dog make? Seth, you know what sound a dog makes? What sound does a dog make?
Ruff.
A dog says ruff. I'm asking. A dog says ruff. Resh Vav Pei. Gematria 286. Ruff. Okay? It's a good pshat. That's what a dog, that's, you know... That's what the Umas HaOlam say. That's what the nations of the world say a dog says. Right? But when you listen to a dog bark, what does it really say? Gevish Patalik, what does a dog really say? It doesn't say rough. What does it say? Anyone else? No, what does a dog say, Ashi?
Have, have, have.
A dog says, have, have. Have. Hey, bays. Have. Okay? Now, if you don't think that's what a dog says, you have to listen more carefully now. Pay close attention, right? We're used, we've been brainwashed by the world to think that dogs say rough. So it's a fine answer.
It's on a dog, Rabbi.
What'd you say?
There's different dogs.
No, all dogs say have. The Zohar says dogs say have. So we have to train our ears. It's not the Zohar's fault, it's our fault. A dog says have. What does have mean in Aramaic? Have, have? Have, have. What is the dog saying? Have, have. Give, give. Give me, give me. Right? Give it to me. I want it. I want to take. The danger of Rosh Hashanah is showing up and thinking it's a day for taking. It's not a day for taking. It's a day for giving. It's not saying, Hashem, you give me. I want to give you. What do we want to give Hashem on Rosh Hashanah? Chevra, in four words. V'yitein lecha keser melucha. We want to give you the crown, Hashem. I want to make sure that on Rosh Hashanah, I focus on Hashem and not myself. Now, some of you are going to be very nervous about this. What are you talking about? You're not supposed to daven for yourself on Rosh Hashanah. What are you talking about? And then you start to read the Svarim, and it talks about the first day is Dina Kashya, a more intense din. The second day is Dina Rafya. It's a more gentle din. Maybe on the second day, can I start to ask for something? The first day, I can't ask for anything. The second day, I'm allowed to ask. I mean, and also, am I allowed to ask for spiritual things? Okay, Chavi, you should ask. You're allowed to ask. You're allowed to ask. Again, the Tzaddikim explained to us, and obviously with a lot of depth, how to ask. Again, we don't have time to try to explore that right now. You're allowed to ask. I'm not telling you not to ask. It is a day of asking. The tefillah itself, Zachenu l'chaim, melachavitz b'chaim, Hashem, give us life. And we say at the end, b'sefer achaim, put me in the book of Parnasa. We're asking for things of this world. We're asking. We are asking. But make sure that first and foremost in your mind is HaMelech. I'm crowning the king. To the Hachtar Samalucha. The crowning, so the coronation ceremony, the coronatia. Like the Lubavitchers, who taught Rav Soloveitchik as a young boy, taught him the coronatia, the coronation of the king. So look what the Navi warns us. The Navi says to us, be careful, be very careful. Shelo yeh ikr magamasam letaki nafsham levad. Don't show up during these days and say, Hashem, I'm here to save myself. You're not here to save yourself, you're here to save Hashem. I know that sounds like a crazy thing to say. But saving Hashem means making sure that the world knows that the whole world should know that you are its creator. That every blade of grass should know it. Like I think I told you one time, the Rebbe Rashab spent the last 5 years of his life, the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe, spent the last, was it 5 or 10 years? I think 5 or 10 years, I'm not sure. I think he passed away in 1920. The last 5 or 10 years of his life, he was in Rostov. So I once heard from Rabbi Shmuel Braun, he said that when the Rebbe Rashab was in Rostov, he had, I don't know if it was on his wall or if it was on his floor. He had this beautiful little, you know, this beautiful little, I think the floor, there was like tiles made out of these small little tiles. This beautiful decorative floor. And the Rebbe Rashab said that his avoda in Rostov was to be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu over every little tile. You know, picture like a floor made out of, you know, little tiles that are put together in some type of decorative pattern. The Rebbe Rashab said, I'm not going to stop until every single tile, every little piece of cement, every little tile, right, every blade of grass, every fiber of the carpet beneath my feet, of my basement here, I'm not going to stop trying to serve Hashem until the very fibers of the carpet recognize that there's a Borei Olam. Now again, I don't know how to do that. We don't really know how to do that, Chavra. But the goal in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva is not just to save yourself. It's to save Hashem, to make sure that everyone knows that there's a Borei Olam. It's not about Tikkun Nafshim Levad or Shoresh Nishmasam. It's not just about that. Ki gam zek tzas oved es atzmo. Because that's, on a certain level, self-serving. So what is the goal? Chaver, here's the line, underline it. Aval iker ha'avodo lashuv el Hashem. Now again, this is a high level, but we can all do it a little bit, at least. Aval iker ha'avodo lashuv el Hashem milvavo hanishbar. In other words, daven for the team. Daven for the Shechina. Daven for the fact that there's a mosque on top of Kodesh Kadashim. What kind of Yom Kippur? How dare you go to Shul on Yom Kippur and you don't think about the fact that there's a mosque sitting on top of the Kodesh Kedoshim? You don't think that bothers Hashem? It's painful for Hashem. He wants a Beis HaMikdash. You don't think Hashem is pained when he sees lawlessness in the world? You don't think Hashem is pained when he sees Jews straying far from him, not recognizing him? You don't think Hashem is pained when he hears people declaring that God is dead? You don't think Hashem is pained when he sees Jews suffering? Knesset Yisrael, the Jewish people, the collective, Chof Nun Yod is Knesset Yisrael. Okay, Donnie, you got it? Chof Nun Yod, Knesset Yisrael. The collective Jewish people. Daven for Klal Yisrael, daven for the team. Don't show up and say, I need a bigger house, I need a new car, I need a summer internship, I need a girlfriend, I need a this, I need a that. Right? Also daven for those things. But daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that what? Daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem, there should be, the Shekhinah should have a place in this world. You should have a place in this world. Klal Yisrael should have a place in this world. And to realize that my actions, which were not proper, in fact, what? Caused the Galus HaShechina. I drove Hashem away. I kicked him out of his house. And I need to think about that. So therefore, says the Navi, have a listen to the words. Let's conclude the piece. Says the Navi, V'zeh nikra shuva elai. Shuva elai means lasos tikun elai umachon leshivti. That the tikun should be elai. How much is it about Hashem and how much is it about you? Make the shuva elai. Return not just to me, but make your return about me. Umachon leshivti. About creating a machon, a dwelling place. Make a place for Hashem. Acha sha'alti meis Hashem osa avakesh shivti beveis Hashem. Be partners with creating a bias. But if a person's going to say, I'm going to focus on making a place for Hashem, I can barely get my own act together. Now I'm responsible for all of Klal Yisrael. I'm responsible for the Shechina. Responsible for the big thing. Shelo yomer adam im eilich derech gavoa kazev. Try to aim so big. Such a lofty way. Lasso savor Shechina. Focusing on such holy and lofty things. Pen chas v'shalom lo asig hamayla hazos. Maybe it's out of reach. It's not realistic. Maybe I should go a little lower. Maybe I should take to heart what Rabbi Saul Salanter said. I have to change myself, and then I'll change my family, and then Mamela, I'll change my community, and then I'll change the world. Don't try to change the whole world at once. Maybe start small. A person says to himself, maybe it's more realistic to start small. Why am I trying to save Klal Yisrael, to save the Shekhinah, to save God's presence in the world? Right? Maybe that's not realistic. Maybe I'm not going to reach such a level. Mutavli, maybe it's better for me. It would be more realistic to what? Sha'ashuv kedei letakin naran shali. Maybe I should just focus on my own naran. What's my naran? Nefesh, ruach, neshama. Don't go so big. Why am I aiming so big? Shuva elai? My whole tshuva should be about what? Saving Hashem? I don't understand that concept at all. Crowning Hashem? You need my crown? So maybe aim small. A person will say to himself, maybe I should aim a little bit smaller. Lachein eftiach ha-Navi, says the Navi Malachi, in the third parak, no. Shem yashuv ha-Adam, afilu ba-ofen zeh u-madrega gavoa, al yid ag da-agaso. If you want to aim high, shuva elai, if you want to make your tshuva about the kingdom, about Hashem, about the Jewish people, don't worry. You're not going to get lost in the shuffle. Chavi, remember the mashal we spoke about? About taking your drop of water and throwing it back into the ocean? And the fear that once my drop is back in the ocean, now it's lost, I can't identify it anymore? So when I think about Shechina, and I think about Klal Yisrael, I lose myself. Says our Rebbe, the Kashrus HaMagid, you don't have to worry. You don't lose anything. Don't worry. Don't be nervous. Don't worry at all. Ki bevadai HaKadosh Baruch Hu yisayei alo. Hashem is going to support you. When you take one for the team, Hashem says, I got you covered. Don't worry. V'yitake naran shalom. Hashem's going to take care of your nefesh, ruach, and neshama. Don't worry, you're not going to get lost in the shuffle. When you do for others, you always win. You never lose. So therefore, shuvo elai. If you focus on me, Hashem says, v'ashuva aleichem. I'll focus on you. And that's how it always is. That's how it always is. The tzaddikim always tell us. We look out for Hashem, Hashem looks out for us. In our tefillin, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. In Hashem's tefillin, we call the Yom Tov. What do we call it? We call it Chag HaPesach. Thank you, Hashem, for jumping over our house. Hashem calls it Chag HaMatzos. Thank you, Jewish people, for what? For baking matzah with such zeal, with such passion. Hashem tells Moshe, go fight Midian to take revenge, what? On behalf of the Jewish people. Moshe tells Bnei Yisrael, go fight Midian to defend the honor of Hashem. We're always looking out for each other. So shuva elai, do tshuva to take care of Hashem, v'ashuva aleichem, and Hashem will take care of you. So chevra, mamish, three gorgeous Torahs today. Beautiful Torahs. Be'ein me'elet yosher mul magid pesha. Again, the pshat from Reisol Platzker, how are we gonna deal with pesha? What are we gonna do with pesha? But we said the same way you did in the Veira, just because, so do a mitzvah just because. Not for the schar, not in this world, not in the next world, and then you turn pesha into shefa. And then we learned Shabbos Agadol, the way to fix your kalim. If your averas are cold, you can do a cold tshuva. But unfortunately for many of us, our averas are hot, and we're even sometimes addicted to averas. And therefore the way is to really have a heartfelt, a hot tshuva, and a shviras halev, in order to recreate ourselves. And lastly, again, tshuva elai v'shuva elechem, when we focus on Hashem, we're guaranteed to be successful because Hashem is going to take care of us as well. Okay? Gevaldik Torahs. Nu, chever, good? You're enjoying? Ashreinu sheyesh lanu Rebbe kazeh. We're so lucky to have the Avodas Yisrael as a Rebbe this year. I really feel